passage readings are from Romans chapter 12, verse 3 and John chapter 14, verse 21. I read out Romans chapter 12, verse 3. For through the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, not to think more highly of himself than he ought to think, but to think so as to have sound judgment, as God has allotted to each a measure of faith. John 14, 21. He who has my commandments and keeps them is the one who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and will disclose myself to him.
청대 여러분,
dear brothers and sisters in Christ, members of over 4,000 branch churches in Korea and all over the world, including the United States, United Kingdom, Canada, Honduras, Peru, Bolivia, Argentina, Germany, France, Russia, Belgium, Netherlands, China, Japan, Pakistan, Nepal, Indonesia, Philippines, Taiwan, India, Mongolia, Egypt, Israel, Kenya, Uganda, Congo, Burundi, Rwanda, Tanzania, Nigeria, Swaziland, South Africa, Botswana, Ivory Coast, and local sanctuary members, those who are attending our service on the internet all over the world, and television viewing audiences. Our God is love. Also, He wants to share His overflowing love with us. The reason why He made the first man Adam is to gain through children who can share their love with Him. Now, do you love God? Of course, God's children who are saved will say yes, but how truly do you love Him? In today's passage, John 14, 21, Jesus says, He who has my commandments and keeps them is the one who loves me. To love God, the evidence of loving God is to keep His commandments. He who has my commandments and keeps them is the one who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and will disclose myself to him. Only those men of spirit who keep God's commands completely and dwell in the truth without committing any sins, even from the heart, can confess that they truly love God. In order to gain those children, God also has been enduring for such a long time until He gave His one and only Son. This is the 14th session, 13th session of the Measure of Faith, and I'll talk to you about the fourth level of faith. I urge you to come out as God's children who truly love God through this message. By doing so, may God and the Lord love you in all aspects, and may you lead your life with the evidences of God's loving you. I pray in the name of the Lord. Brothers and sisters in Christ, the fourth level of faith is the faith to love the Lord to the utmost degree, passing the third level where we can practice the Word. It is the level where you have cast off sinful natures in your heart and you practice the Word, dwelling in the truth completely. Let me give you an example to explain how the fourth level of faith is different from the first, second, and the third levels of faith. Let us say a person has made false rumors about you and is slandering you. He is spreading bad rumors about you, saying that you said something that you never said and you did something you never did. Then, how would you react? If you are in the first level or the beginning of the second level, it is difficult to bear with it. You will go to him immediately to argue about what is wrong and what is right. If you argue with him with anger, your voice may be raised, and if you have more evil, you will quarrel with him with bad words. But it is such a shameful thing to do this kind of thing as a child of God. Only if you are at the middle stage of the second level, you can control yourself not to get angry or give out evil so much, because you have been trying to cast off evil. But how the person at the third level of faith react? The third level of faith is the faith to practice the word, but if you are not standing on the rock of faith yet, your anger may be agitated. You have sudden agitation in your mind and have uncomfortable feelings. Because you know the truth, you try to control your ill feelings and bear with it, saying, "I should be thankful and rejoice," but you cannot really give thanks from the depth of your heart. But it's different at the fourth level. No matter who says what and what kind of wrong accusation you face, you don't have any agitation of your feelings because you didn't commit any sin against God, and your conscience does not condemn you. Your thanks and joy do not disappear because of those things. Rather, as Jesus did, you can bless even your enemies and have mercy on the other person and pray for him so that he won't commit sins. Likewise, even in the same situation, the reaction would be different according to the measure of faith and the fragrance of your heart that reaches God would be different in measure. Let me give you another example. Let us say your parents have a serious emergency situation and have to go through an operation. You are in desperate need of money and you pick up a bag full of money on the street. At the first or the second level of faith, you may just take the money. At the second level, the heart of spirit that tries to follow goodness and the lust of the flesh that follows your own desire will fight against each other. And if the desire of the flesh wins with the thought that you've definitely you need the money, you may spend it for yourself, though you have some qualms of conscience. But at the third level, you may have a thought of untruth momentarily, thinking, "I can solve my problem with this money," but you will finally follow the good conscience and return it to the owner. Let me give you one more example. If you are at the parking lot, if you, by mistake, scratched somebody else's car, which is very expensive, and it'll cost a lot. If you are at the first or the second level of faith, you may look around, and if nobody has seen, you may just park your car at some other place or just leave. I'm not saying all of you, but those with goodness won't do that, but most of first or second levels will do that. But at the third level, the conscience will not allow it. You will leave your address and your number so that and write a note that if you call me, I made a scratch on your car. If you call me, I'll make the compensation. And by listening to this message, you can check whether you are at the second level or the third level. But at the fourth level, it is completely different. No matter how much you need the money, you don't have any desire to take somebody else's belonging. So you don't have any struggle in your heart. You'd rather worry about the owner, who must be worrying about the lost money, and you only try to return it as quickly as possible. Even if you are in such a desperate situation, you don't have any little bit of any bit of desire to take the money. This is fourth level or higher. If you have this kind of heart, you don't have any shame before both God and man, and you can be confident of yourself. The politicians, if they are at the fourth level or higher, will they accept any bribery, or there won't be any scandals or anything? The politics will be so clean. If you have any evil in your heart, you feel heartache and feel agitated according to your situations. But if you don't have any evil in your heart, You will always be full of the Holy Spirit and have a happy and comfortable mental state, regardless of your situations. From this point, let's look into the characteristics of the fourth level of faith. First, the fourth level of faith is the level to love God unconditionally. It's not giving a condition like, if you answer me in this way, I'll serve you this way. You don't try to love, but you just love God so much from your heart. You don't want anything in return, but you love Him unconditionally. In keeping God's commands, you don't keep them to receive answers to your prayers or receive blessings. Neither do you keep them for fear of facing disasters. You keep them because you feel the love of God who loved us first like fire in your heart. You feel it is so very natural to love Him and keep His commandments. And it is also your happiness to keep His commands. If you break it, you will be sad. And it is hard, difficult thing, and you don't want to violate God's commands at all. And Daniel kept on praying with thanks, knowing that he would be thrown into lion's den if he prayed. He could just hide and pray for 1 month. He could just not open the window and just pray. But because he opened the window and prayed facing Jerusalem as usual, his enemies watched him. But knowing that he would be thrown into lion's den, he just kept on praying as usual. He didn't pray with sorrow and with so much worry in his heart, saying, God, save me. I am trying to keep your will, and I am in danger. If he prayed covering himself with a blanket, or he didn't pray anything like that. But rather, he prayed with thanks in comfort. He only loved God and followed His will. And because he committed whatever the result might be into God's hands, he could be thankful whether he would live or die. It was the case with his three friends too. What did they confess before the king who threatened them to throw them into fiery furnace if they didn't worship the idol? Daniel chapter 3 verses 17 to 18 says, if it be so, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the furnace of blazing fire. And He will deliver us out of your hand, O King. That country where three friends were, it was a big country, great country, ruling over many other countries, and they were still saying, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the furnace of blazing fire. They're saying, confessing that they had the faith that even the fire wouldn't be able to burn them. And also, they would be revived by the power of God. And Abraham had the same faith, even though Isaac was offered as a burnt offering sacrifice, God would revive him, Abraham believed. Do you have this kind of faith? You may, maybe you won't compromise and go into the fiery furnace, but do you have the faith that God will save you anytime, revive you anytime, even though you are burnt? But if you go into spirit, you'll have that faith. Our God, whom you serve, is able to deliver us from the furnace of blazing fire, and He will deliver us out of your hand, O King. And as a king's subjects, how can they say this? But they were bravely confessing, and God will deliver us. They were confidently saying. But even if He does not, even if God would not protect them, and let them die in the furnace, even if he does not let it be known to you, O king, that we are not going to serve your gods or worship the golden image that you have set up. They didn't only trust the power of God who could save them from the fire, but even if God would not save them, they would only follow the will of God. This is the confession that those at the fourth level of faith can make. In today's Christian world, there are so many heartbreaking things. They violate 10 commandments. Even an organization, church association, violates 10 commandments. God hates all idols. And God commands us that there are people who worship idols, and they compromise with these people who worship idols. And when on the Buddha's birthday, they give congratulatory messages. And also, these Buddhists, they send us congratulation messages back. And please think about this. Will you accept congratulations from the enemy devil on our establishment day or something on Easter? Can we congratulate the enemy devil? This cannot happen. These people worship idols, and they give back congratulations. And at the time of like in 60s or 70s, if anybody said something like that, they would have been condemned as heretic people. But now the faith has changed. Rather, those people condemn a church who manifests God's power. And how ridiculous this is. In any situation, absolutely, we must not violate God's commands, and we must not compromise with any devil. And those people condemn our church as a heretic. And how ridiculous. But we never say, we never condemn them as heretic or anything. But still, they are not heretical. Because a heretic is a person who denies the Christ who came in flesh. And even if God does not save us, let it be known to you, O king, that we are not going to serve your gods or worship the golden image that you have set up. They were confident. They were very firm about this. They didn't only trust the power of God who could save them from the fire, but even if God would not save them, they would only follow the will of God. Last time, the leader of the Catholic churches, he blessed the dragon and he blessed the serpent. And the church association that condemned us, theological seminary received permission from the government, and they became an official established theological university, and they had a newspaper, college newspaper, and there was a cartoon, and in that cartoon was a dragon, which was blessing, congratulating the establishment of a registered college. And how can will dragon try to work with the church, and will God accept a congratulation from a dragon?
So they,
it was the same with Paul and Silas. In Acts chapter 16, while preaching the gospel, Paul and Silas were imprisoned with their feet fastened in the stocks. Then what did they do? They didn't complain to God saying, God, are you really living? We preach the gospel following your command, and why do you let us suffer this way? And the situation, you look at the situation, they could have said something like this. Maybe not very strongly, but maybe they could have said that. They were preaching the gospel, but they were beaten up, they were imprisoned with their feet fastened in the stocks. So maybe they could have said, if God is with me, why could this kind of thing happen? Why did God not protect me? Maybe they could have complained a little bit, but at the fourth or fifth level, this kind of thing never happens. They still praise God. They still give thanks to God. So they didn't complain, saying, why do you let us suffer this way? This is a kind of confession that people at first or second level of faith will make. If you are at the third level, you would not complain like this, but your feelings may be hurt. They may offer a prayer that is not proper, saying, Father, I suffered contempt and was beaten while preaching the gospel. Please heal me quickly and let me out quickly. Sometimes people come to receive my prayer and say, I prayed hard and I prayed diligently and I was faithful and I gave all thanks and I gave tithes and I don't know why I have to be persecuted by my husband. There are some people who say that. And I always tell you, you can just come into spirit if you don't want any persecutions. If you just come into spirit, they cannot persecute you. If they persecute you, they will receive, they'll have to pay the price for that. But Paul and Silas didn't complain or worry about what would happen even after they were beaten and mocked in front of so many people. They rather rejoiced, gave thanks, and sang a praise of glory to God. Although they were bleeding and their feet were fastened in the stocks. This is the model of a person at the fourth level and the true children of God whom he wants to gain. When the emotion-filled praise was resounding by God's work, there was an earthquake. The doors were opened and their stocks were loosened. The second characteristic of the fourth level of faith is that they love God first. If you love God first, you don't have any desire for worldly fame or wealth, and you love God more than your family or even your own life. Philippians chapter 3, verses 7 to 8 says, But whatever things were gained to me, those things I have counted as loss for the sake of Christ. More than that, I count all things to be lost in view of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and count them but rubbish, so that I may gain Christ. If you love the Lord, you won't do anything, and you will cast off everything that God does not like. It means he could forsake all the things he considered valuable and precious in the world only if it was for the Lord. Luke chapter 14, verses 26 to 27 says, If anyone comes to me and does not hate his own father and mother and wife and children and brothers and sisters, yes, and even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. Whoever does not carry his own cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. Mark chapter 10 verses 29 to 30 says, Jesus said, Truly I say to you, there is no one who has left house or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or farms for my sake and for the gospel's sake, but that he will receive 100 times as much now in the present age, houses and brothers and sisters and mothers and children and farms along with persecutions, and in the age to come, eternal life. Because of this word I obeyed. I followed this word, and God gave me 100 times. He will receive 100 times as much now in the present age, houses and brothers and sisters and mothers and children and farms. And how many children do I have? I serve elderly people as my parents, and I have so many brothers and sisters. And I have so many houses, including houses of God, and including branch churches and in overseas branch churches. How many? Also, God gave me fame and wealth and rich children and all blessings. More, He gave me more than 100 times. So God's word is absolutely true. If you just obey, it'll just happen. And along with persecutions. So because we are trying to follow the will of God, we receive persecutions too. But in the age to come, we'll receive eternal life. If you follow these words, you may face persecutions in the beginning. And if you don't have enough faith, you may have hard times because of it. But when your faith does not change and you live a life of a holy believer, even the worldly people will acknowledge you. Furthermore, if you go into spirit and love God first, Satan cannot work on you anymore. So all persecutions will go away and people will recognize you and respect you as true Christian. As for me too, there were many incidents right after I accepted the Lord. When my parents were in our hometown, came to Seoul, and all the family members had a meeting, we couldn't attend it to keep the Sabbath. When our seniors visited us, I didn't offer them any alcohol. When something different like this began to take place, they complained about it. When my parents came to Seoul from hometown, they chose a Sunday because they were free on Sunday, and they were going for a family gathering, and I had to refuse it. I couldn't attend it. And when my family members came, I used to serve them alcohol, but I didn't serve them alcohol anymore. So some of them were disappointed. But in my father's case, I was very thankful. When my father came to me first, I explained to him, because of alcohol, I broke my body and I had diseases, and because I met God, I was healed. And alcohol is not good for health, and God's word prohibits it. So, Father, I cannot serve you alcohol, but I'll serve you with something else. And the father was pleased. Yes, you should do it. You should attend church because God healed you. You should follow the will of God. Even if you don't serve me alcohol, I don't have any disappointments, so don't worry about it. But as time went, my family members and relatives came to love and trust us more. In consideration of our situations, they had family gatherings on days other than Sunday. Now, most of my relatives are believers who are saved. My mother, until her death, loved me the most among all her children. Of course, even before I accepted the Lord, she loved me, but she loved me more. If you act by your faith and do not compromise, God will work for you and you will finally be able to give glory to God. But you shouldn't misunderstand this. By saying God is more important than your children or family, and you have to cut out fleshly affection, it does not mean you should be cold-hearted towards your family members. You must serve them as they are supposed to be served. If it is not violating the law of God, you should serve your family members much better than unbelievers do. Also, you should be faithful in all God's house as parents, as children, and as members of a family. If they ask you to serve them, violating God's law, you shouldn't do that, but within the law, other than that, you should serve them much better than unbelievers. It is also the will of God to let your unbelieving family members to be touched by your good deeds, accept the Lord, and receive salvation. But if you believe in God, who has given birth to our spirit and saved us from the punishments of hell, it is something obvious that you love God first above anybody else in the world. If you love God first this way, you will serve everybody with goodness and love and seek others' benefit first in everything. Then, you will love others with a truly spiritual love. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, those who have not reached this level of faith do not understand other people who have great measures of faith and misunderstand them. Those who are at the first, second, and third levels of faith, you cannot understand the men of spirit who are in the fourth level or higher. Only after you get into that level you can understand them. So there can be many misunderstandings. You may condemn or judge with the level of flesh, but you should never do that. Especially if you judge or condemn those who are very much loved by God, you will have to pay the price for it. For example, I heard some people saying when Abraham was taking Isaac to offer him as a sacrifice, Abraham was in great agony and despair. And they were saying, God gave him 3 days distance because God let him think about it. It was just a 3-day distance, and why would God let him? Suffer from making a decision in between. But Abraham's level of faith was not that low. If his faith had been only that much, then God wouldn't have allowed such a test in the first place. At the beginning of the church, I didn't know about it, and I preached in this way. And if you remember it, please erase it from your memory. When I was attending a theological seminary, I heard a pastor, and later God explained to me that it was wrong. And so if you use your human thought, it will not be right. And how can man of flesh understand or judge the deed of Abraham, who is the father of faith? So, man of flesh cannot understand man of spirit. Only when you go into spirit and receive the have the inspiration of the spirit, can you understand God's will. Abraham didn't hesitate concerning anything that God commanded of him. Even before he faced trials and he called Abraham and commanded him to leave his hometown and his household, he didn't hesitate. He didn't even know where to go, but he still obeyed. And after going through so many trials, and will Abraham think about it in this way and in that way? He believed God would revive Isaac, and even if God were not to revive him, Abraham could just give his son with thanks just because God told him to do so. Because God is the master of his life and the life of his son, he could give his son at any time, just as God commanded, even though his son was so precious and lovely. Therefore, Abraham obeyed with only joy, without any hesitation or questioning of God. As a result of his obedience, he was blessed to be established as the father of faith. Proverbs chapter 8 verse 17 says, I love those who love me, and those who diligently seek me will find me. As said, when you love God first and love Him unconditionally, God loves you to the utmost degree and meets you all the time. Namely, He blesses you for your soul to be prosperous, gives you health, and gives you glory both on this earth and in heaven. I will explain to you about the blessing of our soul's prosperity in the next session. Let me conclude the message, dear brothers and sisters in Christ. Long ago, when God called me as His servant, He gave us the following word. My servant, you loved me first, more than your parents, your wife, and anything else, and told me that He would use me as a great servant. After I received such words, I looked back at myself, and I could boldly confess I really loved God first more than all my possessions, my family, and even to the extent where I could offer my life to God. When God spoke to me that way, I couldn't confidently say Amen. I was wondering, did I love God so much? And I couldn't say Amen immediately, but after some time, I thought about it, and because I was called as a servant of God, not that I didn't want to obey, but because it was so different from what I had first desired in my heart, I wanted to become a good elder, taking care of those who are in need, and I was in agony because it was completely different than what I thought, and I was going to the mountains to pray and receive the answer once more. And after that, I thought about it, and I really loved God as God spoke. It is the same all the time since then. I always urged my wife not to try to serve me, but to be faithful for the kingdom of God and for the souls. My main prayer center president, she cooks very well, and she cooks the best for me. And I go to, even if I go to restaurants, cold noodles and bibimbap and beans, noodles, and any kind of food, soup or anything, and frankly, honestly, what she cooks for me is the best. I never tasted anything better than what she cooks, but if she makes dishes for me, and if she cooks for me, I don't like it. Since the beginning of the church, I have been telling her, don't do it for me, do it for the souls. Pray more, and offer your time for the souls. Cooking and other things can be done by other people, and you don't work for me, you don't serve, try to serve me. And nowadays, I'm a little tired. I almost gave up. But because she loves me so much, she is so happy cooking for me sometimes. So sometimes when I taste it, I know, oh, this is made by her. I could have sent my daughters to good colleges and had them meet good spouses, but I rather taught them to love God first and live for Him rather than seeking such personal happiness. When Pastor Myung Lee grew up, and when I was working in the church associations, many pastors asked me to give my daughter to them. And very famous pastors, even politicians and even big businessmen, they wanted to take her as their daughter-in-law. And I just smiled. I couldn't just refuse right away. And I already, I said on the altar, many times, my three daughters, they will not get married and they are offered to God. And there are some people who are out of their mind. They write to me to give my daughter to let him marry one of my daughters. And there is no time. Even to be faithful in God's kingdom, and those who have that kind of mind, please change your mind. And please do not imagine or say one of my daughters loves you or anything like that. Maybe they love you in spirit, but not in any fleshly way. Then all three of my daughters volunteered to become ministers. They volunteered 100%. I never urged, I never forced them to become pastors. They volunteered completely. I did not compromise, but stood against all kinds of hardships, temptations, and persecutions if they were not right according to the will of God. I prayed for the souls whom the Lord entrusted to me with all my energy to the last bit, even in a moment where it seemed to be the end of my life. Even when I had no strength to stand up myself, I taught the congregation what the will of God is, holding on to the pulpit. Maybe you felt something like that before. And not to fall down, I delivered the message, holding on to the pulpit many times. Those who are serving me knew that because I was swaying while walking, but I still preached and kept on preaching the will of God. I never said, I'll have a vacation or anything like that. I'll take a rest or anything. He gave me health, happiness of family, financial blessings, fame and authority so abundantly. He let me receive love from countless believers around the world. Only if you go into spirit, your life will be filled with the evidences that you are loved by God. Especially if you come into Holy Spirit, the blessings and glory that God gives you cannot be expressed with words. The Almighty God has prepared everything for His dear children and is waiting to give as much as he can. Only if you come into spirit, he'll bless you so greatly, and he is waiting for that day more than you are looking forward to that day. I pray in the name of the Lord that you will come into spirit and Holy Spirit quickly so that you will be able to share your love with God, receive blessings, and give glory to him in all aspects. Dear brothers and sisters, next Sunday is traditional feast, Lunar New Year Day, and many of you must be going back to your hometown. Please preach the gospel, and also please keep the Sabbath holy, and please do not bow down before any idol in any case, and please have a nice holidays. Also, let me tell you one more thing. In the church, between brothers and sisters, I always, once or twice in a year, I tell you not to exchange any money because it's the word given by God. If you exchange money, then Satan begins to work and Satan disturbs everything, so your business won't go well. Satan is looking for that, and Satan is trying to make divisions among brothers and sisters. So you'll face problems. So in most cases, because of thousands of dollars, tens of thousands of dollars, or sometimes hundreds of thousands of dollars, you do not receive back. And because you disobeyed, you cannot complain because I always tell you not to exchange money from the altar. So because you disobey, those things happen. If you need money, you have banks. So if you cannot borrow money from bank, you have it means you don't have reliability. So you can, or you can borrow your money from your own family members or your own from other people, from other unbelievers or Gentiles. Because of exchanging money between brothers in faith, many of you fall. Also, please do not be deceived. And some people say, I know senior pastor very well, and deceive you. As if he is one of the relatives of senior pastor or something. And please do not be deceived by any of those people. Please do not be deceived. Let us pray together, thinking about the message. Hallelujah, Lord, we thank you for your grace and love. Father God, let this message become our life and strength, and let us quickly go into fourth level of faith. Let us long for spirit, and let us go into spirit quickly. Father, bless us. Father, thank you. Let us quickly go into fourth level of faith. And in this year, let us quickly go into fourth level. I pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Be prepared to receive blessings. Pray for the sick. Please lay your hands on your parts. And receive the prayer for the desires of your heart. Hallelujah, Father God, we thank you. Please lay your hands on them. From head to toe, from all entrails and cells and nerves and tissues, burn them with the fire of the Holy Spirit and most high power of creation. Give them strength, spiritual and physical health. Give in your power, power, power. Work transcending time and space. Bless members in branch churches and local sanctuaries who are attending the service on the satellite and all the members who are attending the service on the internet. And there are many prayer requests from neighboring country. Father, please lay your hands on your sons and daughters. They want to receive prayer at this time. Father, show your work. Father, burn them with the fire of the Holy Spirit. Give them health. Heal all the diseases. Father, heal them. Heal them of all diseases. Be burned by the fire of the Holy Spirit. Be cleansed. All diseases and germs go away. Be burnt by the fire of the Holy Spirit. Father, give them, cleanse them cleanly. Also, there is a request for members of spiritual faith and in that church, Habe Church, give spiritual faith to the members. Lord, bless them. Give them more strength and power. And Father, protect us, protect all members while they go and fro their hometown. And let them not bow down before idols. Let their souls be prosperous and let everything go well with them. And let them be healthy spiritually and physically. Burn them with the fire of the Holy Spirit and give them spiritual and physical health. Give them prosperity throughout the week. And let there be no problems. Lord, thank you. Wherever your children may be, let no enemy devil tempt them and protect them with your blazing eyes and fire wall of the Holy Spirit. I pray in the name of Jesus Christ.